1 John 2:15 through 17, Pew Bible page 1208. Our series that we're in is called Essential Christianity, because 1 John is all about essences. It's all about the essence of what it means to be a Christ follower, what you must be and believe to be a real Christian. We're working our way very slowly through 1 John. It's very different from working through Judges this summer, isn't it? Where we take great big blocks, maybe three chapters at a time. Here we're just looking at a few verses at a time. Last week we looked at just three verses. This week we'll look at just three verses. Last week we were incredibly encouraged by verses 12, 13, and 14 because John told us that we're the real deal. John believed that his readers should be written to because they had the essence of Christianity. Your sins have been forgiven. You know God. You have overcome the evil one. Your sins have been forgiven. You know God. You have overcome the evil one. How many of us drew strength from those truths this last week? I know I did. Your sins have been forgiven. You know God. You have overcome the evil one. Are you encouraged? Okay. Now it's time to be challenged. John builds right off of those three incredibly encouraging verses and gives the first command in the whole book. Up till now, he has told them things that are true and that change their lives, but now he tells them something to do. And in fact, it's a warning. It's something not to do. He says, do not love the world. Do not love the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know just because this is your word, but because of the way John says it, that this is important. We've got to hear this. We've got to do this. The book has been building towards this. This letter has been driving. This is the first command in the whole letter, and we need to heed it. Help us to get it, Lord. Help me to get it right as I explain it, to slice it right, to not give a skewed understanding or any kind of spin, but instead, Lord, to just serve it up hot and fresh for us all to eat from. Help us, Lord, to take in this word and make it a part of us. Jeremiah 15:16, your words came and I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Lord, help us to take this in, make it our morning meal, so that it then gets out into every little bit of us through our spiritual bloodstream and empowers us to live the way you want us to. Would you do that, Lord, in these moments in your word? Lord, make it holy moments in your word. Not just a religious ritual where we sit and hear a sermon, but that we would engage you as we encounter the Bible. We pray it in the name of Jesus, for the glory of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not love the world. That's classic John, isn't it? That is classic John the Apostle. John loves his simple but incredibly profound sentences. This is the man, John, under the inspiration of the Spirit, who came up with, in the beginning was the Word. and the man who wrote, God is light. John knows how to cut to the chase and give the bottom line and say something incredibly simple and incredibly deep at the exact same time. Do not love the world or anything in the world. That's the command. In fact, that's the message for today. As soon as we get that, we can go home. And it comes right on the heels of those encouraging, almost poetic verses that assured us that our sins are forgiven, that we know God the Father, and that we have, through Christ, overcome the evil one. Now John says, do not love the world. And if we get that, we get everything. Of course, John's classic command raises a whole bunch of questions, doesn't it? That's classic John as well. He says something simple and profound, and we go, well, but, and, well, do you mean, what does he mean? And what doesn't he mean by this? Because I thought we were supposed to love the world. Aren't we supposed to love the world? Isn't that what missions is all about? Aren't we supposed to be like God? Doesn't He love the world? Isn't the most famous verse in the whole Bible, God so... Yeah, who wrote that verse? Same guy, same Spirit. John the Apostle wrote both of them, and I believe that's the same writer we're reading right now. God so loved the world, do not love the world. What's John mean? Well, let's start with what John does not mean, because I think that will help us to understand what he does mean. I got two of these. I'm sure we could come up with more. First, John does not mean, do not love the people of the world. I don't think John could mean that, because that's what God does and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be loving people and do what is best for others. Love the people of the world, at least in the way God does. A love that is a 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love is appropriate for the people of the world. Be patient. Be kind. Don't be rude. Love people. John has already told us, just a few verses in this same chapter, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, if you love, you live in the light. And you don't stumble. You're not in the darkness. So I don't think this means that we should hate people or feel indifferent about them. Jesus told us that we should love our enemies. Jesus died for His enemies, for the people of the world. We need to love them. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. So do not love the world does not mean do not love the people of the world. Don't think it can mean that. Second, John does not mean do not enjoy things in the physical world. He doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean do not love pizza. Do not love your dog. Do not love hunting. Do not love Christmas fudge. Do not love Christmas trees. Do not love your pillow. Do not love a cool breeze. Do not love the hum of an engine. Do not love the sound of a piano. Do not love curling up in an easy chair with a good book in front of a fire. Do not love the sunrise. That's not what he's saying. You know why? Because the Bible teaches that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and everything in it. And the Bible says that everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. That's 1 Timothy 4:4. Everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. The Bible teaches we're to enjoy the good things of this world. This verse does not mean to stop taking pleasure in the good things that God has given us in the physical world. It was the Gnostic heretics who taught that the physical world was bad and the spiritual world was all that was good. That's the bad guys in 1 John. God said the world He created was very good. It's in the first chapter of the book of the Bible. God takes pleasure in His world, and He invites us to do the same. We sing, "This is my Father's world." John doesn't mean do not enjoy things in the physical world. So, what does John mean? Okay, what does it mean? Because he means something. He said it, and he says it strongly. This is high-octane Christianity. Do not love the world or anything in the world. And I do not doubt for one second that he means every word. But what does every word mean? I think we need to understand what world John is talking about. The Greek word for world is cosmos. And it can mean different things in different contexts, just like our word world does. Here, I think what it means is what I'm going to call the fallen world. The world system in rebellion against God. I noted as we were singing a bunch of the hymns how the world was pinned with sinful world, this fallen world, in a bunch of the carols we just sang. The world system in rebellion against God. Not the individual people in the world, but the people of the world united in rebellion against God. And not the physical things in the physical world themselves, but the way those physical things in the physical world have been turned against God by people and by Satan. So I'm going to say it this way. He means do not fall in love with the fallen world. Do not fall in love with the fallen world. And notice that this is really a different meaning of the word love as well. We have to understand what does he mean by world. We also have to understand what does he mean by love. It doesn't mean love in the 1 Corinthians 13 sense of seeking the best for another person. Or even an innocent enjoying of physical pleasure. This love is a twisted love that turns whatever it loves into a false god. It's a love not of affection, but of lust. It's a love that doesn't say, what can I do for others, but what can this do for me? Do not fall in love with the fallen world. I think verse 16 spells it out for us. It describes what this love, this falling in love with the fallen world kind of love is. Look at verse 16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. You see, there's three things there, right? An unholy trinity of things. Number one is the cravings of sinful man. The Greek here is hei epithumia te sarkos. The old King James Version translated it very literally, the lust or the desires of the flesh. NIV, the cravings of sinful man. Loving the world means giving in to the unbridled desires that spring up from the worst part of me. And when we think of lust of the flesh, we immediately think of sexual lust and sensual immorality. And this phrase, cravings of sinful man, certainly includes that category. Do not love the world rules out everything from internet pornography to sex outside of marriage. But we have other cravings that aren't sexual, don't we? The cravings of sinful man for stuff, and more stuff. When I told Heather that I was going to preach on do not love the world this week, she said, well, that's appropriate for Christmas season. The fallen world tells us that we need things. We desperately need things for us to be happy. Things. Cravings. And here's where a lot of them start. Number two, the lust of his eyes. What we see and then want so desperately. The lust of his eyes. Same word, epithumia, desire, but now of his eyes. Now this again covers our sexual appetite that comes in through our eyes. Men, what are you looking at online? Women too, of course, but especially men. If we were to put your internet viewing history for this week up on the screen, would you be ashamed? What are you doing about it? For the last half of the year, I've been using an internet accountability and filtering software called Covenant Eyes from Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Every week, this software sends a list of all the sites that I visited online and flags any questionable ones to my accountability partner, Pastor Dan Ledford. And then we can talk about them. Because filthy things on the internet are pulling more guys down than we can imagine. The lust of the eyes. If you need help with conquering that, I am here to assist you. I'll show you this internet filtering software, and I will help you with an accountability partner. We don't talk about this enough in church, but it's a plague, and we need to fight it. The lust of the eyes. And of course, that's not just sexual. Our eyes can lead us astray into gluttony and drunkenness and greed. Number three, the boasting of what he has and does. Literally, this phrase can be translated the arrogance of life or the arrogance of the things of life. Boasting about your life, boasting about what you have and what you do. Your livelihood, your possessions, your lifestyle, your bling. That's what it means to love the world. Now here's where it gets tricky, isn't it? John doesn't mean that we should not enjoy the things of this physical world. We just said that. But we sure can enjoy them too much, can't we? That whole list of things I gave earlier, pizza, hunting, the hum of an engine, Christmas tree, Christmas fudge. We can sure enjoy them too much, can't we? We can sure enjoy them at other people's expense, can't we? So there is a sense in which we need to be careful how we enjoy things. Now, my friends never do it, but I understand there's a lot of boasting that goes on Facebook. See my car? See my computer? See my dinner? See my decorations. See my high score. See my well-behaved child. See my book contract. It can turn into face boast, can't it? And before you know it, you've fallen in love with the fallen world. And of course, Facebook just makes it stand out. We don't need a website to fall into the boasting of what we have and do. Do not love the world or anything in the world. It's easy to point fingers. I can think of how other people might fall into loving the world, but it's easy to let myself off of the hook. This is the first command in 1 John. Is that a surprise to hear that this morning? How are you doing? Are you loving the world? Here's why we can't fall in love with the world. John gives us three reasons. Number one, the fallen world doesn't fit with the love of the Father. The fallen world does not fit with the love of the Father. Go back up to verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that could mean either that God's love has not penetrated the person who loves the world, or that if you love the world, you clearly do not love God the Father. And both of them are true. If you fall head over heels in love with the world, I can give you no assurance that you have truly received the love of God. Because that love will change you. I fear so many people that are trapped in worldliness. They love the world. They don't seem any different than the worldlians around them. Yes, they may go to church or may have made some kind of decision for Christ in the past, but they worship the world. They love it. Cravings, lust, boasting. And there's no sign of the love of the Father in them. There's no sign that they love the Father either. That's scary. The fallen world does not fit with the love of the Father. They're incompatible. James says it this way, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. And I don't want any of my loved ones to be an enemy of God. Do not love the world. The second reason is the fallen world doesn't come from the Father. Verse 16 again. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. See the difference? If it comes from God and is received with faith and thanksgiving from God, fair game. Then you can enjoy it with no worries and incredible pleasure. Give yourself to it. Thank you, Lord. But if it's illicit, if it's against God, if it's something you need to hide, if it's something you love more than the Father, that doesn't come from Him. And it must be forsaken. Because, number three, it's passing away. The fallen world is not forever. Verse 17. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. You see, there's no future in it. There's no future in loving the world. Not like this. John said back in verse 8 that the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. The kingdom has come and is coming in its fullness. The dark world that vies for our attention is fleeting, temporary. It's not going to last. That thing you've been chasing? How many of us just wanted something until we finally got it? That's the world. The light world. God is light. That world is eternal. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Why would we love something that's just dust in the wind? Why wouldn't we love that which never ends? We are Christians. Our sins have been forgiven. We know God. We've overcome the evil one. Because of Jesus, we're going to live forever. So we need to live for His will. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The fallen world doesn't fit with the love of the Father. The fallen world doesn't come from the Father. The fallen world is not forever. There's no future in it. Do not love the world or anything in the world. What's that mean for you? I mean, practically speaking, today, this week, what difference does hearing this message make in how you will live? What changes do we need to make? I'm sure for some of us, this will mean radical changes. Changes to the way we shop, the way we surf the internet, the way we watch TV, what we listen to, the way we eat, the way we relate to people of the opposite sex. Some of our changes won't be obvious, but they will be real. What we cannot do is allow ourselves to fall in love with the fallen world. Brothers and sisters, do not love the world.